First giving honor to God, who's truly the head of my life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
To pastor, all the ministers, deacon, guests, members, my family.
Yes.
Good morning or good afternoon. It's been a long time since I've been up here to preach the word. I kind of had a feeling, Pastor, like a couple weeks ago. I was like, she's going to ask me to preach on Easter. But for whatever reason, I was like, nah, it's just you being scary. Don't worry about it.
That's what you said.
That's what I said, yeah. And then, you know, it had been a little while. I talked to you for a second over here in the corner. And I was like, no, she still ain't saying nothing. I was like, I ain't going to have to preach. I'm going to be all right. No. Got that message, and I was like, oh, okay. So I do have to preach. So, all glory to God for the opportunity. He did put it on my heart. I didn't take my time like I should have and prep probably, but he did it the way he needed to do it because I didn't need the time. I needed the time I had. Amen?
Amen.
I recall I was thinking this morning just like how far I've come just in this church as a man, as a preacher. And I remember the first time I was asked to preach on Easter many, many moons ago before I was a deacon. I was just Ryan. And my dad said, hey, I want you to preach on Sunday. And I was like, what? Want you to preach on Sunday? And I was like, oh, okay. Because I never tell God no immediately. It's always kind of how I've been. So I'll be like, oh, okay. I ain't say yes either, though. Just say, oh, okay. And I, you know, I think I got off and looked at the calendar. I'm like, no, Sunday's Easter. You know that, right? You know it's Easter? I thought maybe he just had his days mixed up. Maybe another time. Maybe you meant a Wednesday when there's less people here. I wasn't sure. And I said, Yeah, I have trouble talking in front of people. Because y'all know back then, I really did.
Yes.
I had trouble talking in front of anybody. And I don't know why. It's always been like that. In college, I was doing speeches. Couldn't catch my breath. I just could not concentrate on what I was supposed to be talking about. I had everything written out and it didn't matter. Because if you ain't breathing, you can't talk.
No, you're right. You're right.
I had one of my professors one time. She was like, Ryan, breathe. And I was like, what? And then I thought about it. I had been holding my breath right for like 30 seconds. I was about to pass out. And when I came here, that responsibility was given to me to have to talk more. Whether it be just a random Wednesday night or Friday or at the end of church. Didn't matter when it was. But every once in a while, I had to say something. Then I had to say more. Then I had to say a little bit more. And eventually, I started being embarrassed about how I felt. Just not being able to talk in front of everybody. And I was like, man, like, God, please take this weakness from me.
Okay.
Because I'm an intelligent person. I can speak to people normally.
Yeah.
Why can't I do it now in front of people when you ask me to?
Amen.
And I just asked God, and I said, you know what? I don't want this anymore. God, take this affliction from me, whatever it is, this whatever evil spirit it is, cast it out and allow me to be able to speak when you call me to speak. And ever since then, I've had no issues doing it. So that's just my little testimony. But every once in a while, I think about it and I just remember and me running from that Easter sermon. I called Dad back. I said, yeah, I ain't going to be able to do that. So, because I told him before, you better have a backup plan on your sermon. So have yours written, because I might not be able to do it. And then I was like, nah, I can't do it. So he did end up preaching that Easter. So, man. So the scripture I'm going to come from today is 1 Corinthians 15 and 14. So if y'all can please stand for the reading of his word. Actually, can somebody read the King James Version for me? Whoever get it, whoever wants to talk, it's fine.
Where are we coming from,
baby? 1 Corinthians 15 and 14.
15 and 14.
You'll get it eventually. Just keep saying numbers.
We had a whole Bible
though. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14. Somebody got the King James for me?
Yeah, I have it.
Go ahead. 15 and 14. Yep.
Oh, go ahead. Somebody got one.
Don't be scared. And if Christ be not risen, this is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Ready?
Yes. And so I'm going to read the NLT, though, before you sit. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless.
All right.
May the Lord have a blessing on the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his most holy word. You may be seated.
All right, amen.
My title this afternoon is Put Your Faith to Use. Put Your Faith to Use. For those of you who don't know, Easter is the Christian holiday.
Yes, sir.
We got Easter, followed by Christmas, probably Mother's Day after that.
Yes.
Mother's Day may be before Christmas because the churches be closing on Christmas nowadays. They be wilding. But Easter is really the foundation of everything we do here at the church. It's the biggest church day. We get the biggest attendance across the country. We got believers and non-believers congregating on the same day. If you came for your family, just to be with your family, to celebrate with your family, people travel for Easter sometimes to get together. It's an important time for the church. It's an important time to see, how often would you have everybody in the same place when it's not a funeral? You know, and Easter would be one of those, especially in the church. You might get everybody at your house, but it won't be at the church. You won't be necessarily talking about God.
Yes, sir.
And me, I am a self-proclaimed Christian scientist. Okay. Not a Scientologist, that's different.
Right.
But a Christian scientist. I am a Christian first, but I rock with science. Science is there.
Yeah.
And to me, the miracles that God has shown us and that he continues to show us every day, it's just science that we don't understand yet.
Okay.
And Jesus' resurrection was his biggest miracle. I was reading some studies and they were talking about Christians in the United States, and they said that only 2/3 of American Christians actually believe in the resurrection. Only 2/3. So if everybody look to your left, look to your right, and one of y'all wouldn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, even though you are here today. Probably here next Sunday and was here last Sunday. So what happened to the other third of the people? That's a lot. That just don't believe in the resurrection. Is this how Christians really feel? I'm not putting anybody on the spot. If you feel this way, I'm just going to preach, and you come to your conclusion at the end.
Amen.
That's how we do it, right? To me, with the resurrection being so important and it being the kind of the antithesis of the entire Bible story, for you to be able to be, for everything in the Old Testament leading you down this path to get to the resurrection and then for you to not believe in it, it's strange to me.
All right.
It's like reading a story and at the end, you're just like, nah, I don't believe that. But you was there for the whole thing.
Yeah.
You was in for the whole process, every chapter.
Yeah.
And then just that one part, I don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, to me, it's like a tree refusing to drink water from its roots. The roots are there. But I don't want to drink no water from the roots. I just try to get it from my leaves instead. But it don't work that way.
All right.
Or what about if your house said, you know what, I don't want to rest on this foundation. Why can't I just sit over here? No, you have to sit on your foundation.
Yeah.
So as a Christian, we can't decide that the resurrection is not something to believe in.
Oh, amen.
Because it's everything to us.
Yeah, everything.
What if a bird said, fly? I don't want to fly. I prefer riding a bus. Kind of ridiculous. I mean, a bird might want to ride the bus. No, I don't get tired of flying. But flying is what you were made to do. As Christians, we were made to believe in the resurrection of Jesus.
Right, amen.
So if you go against that, it's as silly as a bird riding a bus.
Okay.
The entire Bible chronicles God's relationships to each and every one of us throughout creation. From the beginning, in the beginning there was a word, and it's all the way to the end, to Revelation. It's told us God loves us. This is what God did for us in bringing us Jesus. He told us he was going to bring us Jesus throughout. He finally did it. So how, as a Christian, can you believe in a Bible without believing in the resurrection?
Right.
So many prophecies within the Bible. They said that a descendant of Abraham would bless all people. The Messiah would come from the house of David and take the throne. The Messiah will be born of a virgin. All of that is referring to Jesus. Isaiah 53 detailed the entire journey to Calvary in the Old Testament. So this was already set forth. The ball was already rolling. Can you set a ball in motion and then not believe in it when it gets to the bottom of the hill? You can't. Easter is the culmination of every prophecy throughout the Bible.
Yeah.
It's the culmination of our faith. Everything that we believe in, everything that we teach. And then it happened as it was all foretold. If none of it had been foretold in the Old Testament, and later down the line, say Jesus is crucified, but there was no talk of it beforehand, then maybe you could say, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure. But if everything before it told you that it was going to happen, it happens. You have to take it all as a whole. You can't just take out that one piece. It's part of the body. Can you believe in a Bible if you don't believe in the resurrection? In the Bible, period. If throughout the Bible is telling you of the coming of Jesus Christ, all throughout the Old Testament, it sprinkles. If it's telling you that, but you don't, how can you get to the end and say, I don't believe that's what that is? Throughout the Bible, in the New Testament, Jesus was healing the sick. He's giving sight to the blind. Raising the dead, feeding the multitudes. There were witnesses to those things. The witnesses wrote those books in the Bible. He was later accused of blaspheming against God. They saw him as a threat. Turned him into the Romans. Like a common thief. He was beaten, battered, bruised, given a crown of thorns, pressed onto his head just to mock him. Because he was supposed to be king of the Jews. And ultimately he was crucified, hung on a cross, nailed through his arms, his legs, feet, and left there to die. His body was laid in a rich man's borrowed tomb. Borrowed, because that man planned to die one day.
Okay. Right?
Right? He bought that tomb for the day when he needed it.
Right.
At a cheaper price. Y'all know y'all can do that now, right? You can buy your casket today for your funeral tomorrow. But on the third day, those sweet ladies went to visit, probably to pay their respects. It's a possibility, and I'm just throwing this out as a possibility. It's a possibility that they thought he might be there when they got there. You know?
Yeah.
They just respected Jesus that much. It's like, hey, he's always been preaching the word. He always said he was going to come. Y'all got friends that have told you they was going to do some things. And they didn't. But you didn't think anything of it. It's like, they still a great person. They still stood for what they stood for. They, you know, I still rock with you. So maybe they wandered in and they said, hey, you know, I'm just going to check it out. See what's going on. Pay my last respects. Make sure he's, you know. And when they got there, the angel was there sitting on top of the rock that had been rolled away from the opening of the tomb. And he said, who are you looking for? He said, Jesus, he's not here. He ain't here. So for them, that was the culmination of everything. The people in the Bible, they had the Old Testament. It was available to them. They could read it. They knew about the prophecy. So it wasn't like us. We got the whole story. They didn't have the beginning. They had the story up until where they are. But when they looked in that tomb, Jesus wasn't in there. Not Jesus' spirit wasn't in there. Jesus' body wasn't in there. Wasn't in the tomb. When I was a young boy, I always thought it was, I don't know, like, you know, it's metaphorical. I thought it just meant, you know, his spirit is gone, so he's not in there. He's changed. He's become something else. No, his body wasn't in there either. It was gone. They said the stone was so heavy, so many men had to be there to even move it. Afterwards, the ladies went and they told everybody, like, Jesus is gone. He did just what he said he was going to do. And Jesus had always did exactly what he said he was going to do. The word has always been fulfilled. Minister Russell told me a while ago that he was saying, I forget, we were talking about the resurrection probably one Easter before. And I was saying, you know, he could have just got down whenever he felt like it.
Yeah.
And he said, no, he couldn't, because then that would mean that his word was void. Mm-hmm. Because God told us a long time ago that he was going to die and rise from his grave. Mm-hmm. So as much as he went through, as much as he endured, for the third of us that do believe in him, to then say they don't believe in what he said and what he actually did. Man, it's something to think about. I had a former pastor of mine. He traveled the world. He was in the military. He was a military guy that trained the military kids when they came in. He was stationed in San Diego for a while, moved back and forth across the country. He was overseas, all kind of stuff before I met him. And he said one Easter, he said, I've been all over the world. He said, and I take it upon myself to visit all the holy places. Okay. He said, I've been to Muhammad's tomb and looked in there. And Prophet Muhammad, he said, he's still in there. He said, I see it. There's a body in there. You know, Buddha has a spot. They pass his ashes out. He's out there. But he said he went to Jesus' tomb. He said, you can walk in there. He said, back then, you could walk in there. He said, he ain't in there. There's nobody in there. Because God's word never came back void. So it's up to us to really write the ending to that story. Which part of the group are you going to be? Are you going to be the 2/3 that believe? Or are you going to be the 1/3 that doesn't? How would it feel to have gone through everything that he went through? And you look back and your people just like, I don't know. But you like, but I'm not in there.
Right.
Do you have my body?
Right.
He came, he showed the disciples his... the holes in his hands, the hole in the side. But then again, they said that the soldiers were bribed. The soldiers were bribed. They were told, you know, by the elders in the area not to tell people that the disciples came and stole his body.
Right.
Yeah. Then where is it?
Where is it?
Where is it?
They respected him. I'm pretty sure they would have buried him and there would be a big something.
Yeah. Okay.
But that was all a lie.
Amen.
Jesus' body is not in the grave because he rose from the dead.
Amen.
He resurrected on the third day just like they told us he would. And now it's up to us, no matter what man has told us, because that third of people who don't believe, what do you think is tempting them the other way? We have quite a bit to say he's not there. So what's tempting them? And then on top of it, the main thing is, if you're not sure about something, ask the Holy Spirit.
All right.
Challenge God.
Yeah.
Tell him to show you something.
Yeah.
I did it one time on a mourner's bench. I didn't believe what nothing was going to happen. Right. So I said, you know what, God? How about this? If I do it, then show me. And then I believe in it.
Yeah.
And he showed me. He showed me.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't nothing been like that before.
Amen.
Not since.
Amen.
Not before, not after.
Amen.
Not saying that maybe I just won't allow it. I allowed myself to shout that time.
Oh.
I allowed it. Yeah, because I gave it to God. I said, well, show me then.
Yeah.
I'm sure if I challenged him again, I'd probably be falling out all the floor, but I haven't done that.
Show him, Lord.
Because I believe it.
Show him, Lord.
I believe it.
Amen.
If you need more convincing, you ask God to convince you. If you need God to convince you, he's real, and you shout every Sunday, ask him.
Amen.
He'll give you something.
That's right.
But don't hold back.
Yeah.
And I gave myself to God that day.
Yeah.
And you got to do the same thing.
Got to. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Believe what the Holy Spirit tells you.
Yes.
The reason that we all are here
is
Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
His birth, his life, his death, his resurrection.
Yeah.
That's why we're here.
That's why we're here. Right.
Christ is in front of our adjective. We are Christians.
Yeah.
The Christ is there for a reason, so you can't say you don't believe in him.
All right. Yeah.
That's so true.
The world tries to scare you and say that church is just threatening people to go to hell.
Oh.
But the truth is, hell is living without God.
Yeah.
In spite of his sacrifice.
Yeah.
He died for your sins.
Yeah.
So you can have a closer walk.
Right.
But you choosing, I want to take the bus. I don't want to fly.
Ooh, okay.
I don't know who I heard choosing that. If I offered you tickets somewhere to your destination of choice, and I said, here go some bus tickets, here go plane tickets, which one you going to take? Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody finna take the bus.
Amen.
I don't know who you are. You got to be definitely afraid of flying in an airplane. And even then, you probably going to go because it's free.
Okay.
Right? We all got our limits.
Yeah.
Hell is a self-made prison.
Mm.
Now I'm talking beyond the fiery place.
Yeah.
Think about what hell would be to you without God.
Oh,
where we talk about, I got bands on my mind.
Yeah.
But the bands gone.
Lord.
Sounds like hell to me.
Yeah.
Amen.
What if the pain that you're praying to go away never goes away? Whatever pain you felt, even if it was for a split second, and it was always there, that could be hell to you.
Amen.
But when you turn your back on God, and you turn your back on his offering to us, which was Jesus Christ, his only begotten son, that's what you're doing. You're saying, no, I'm not interested. Our faith helps us.
Yeah.
It helps us so much. I don't even think we realize it. Even a little bit of faith. That's why they say a faith of a mustard seed. Because a lot of times we walk around with faith that we don't even know we got. That's how small it is. I didn't even know I had it.
Yeah.
And then you realize one day when you actually get tested, that's what that is.
Yeah.
Faith of a mustard seed.
Amen.
Well, they say just a piece of one.
Yeah.
As small as a mustard seed is, just a grain of one, you can't even see it. It could be in your pocket right now, you don't even know. But man, it could do so much. But if it can do so much, guess how much can happen to you if you don't have it. But we're in a good place because I hope that we are the 2/3 who believe in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We believe the things that he told us he was going to do. We believe that he continuously works in our lives. We believe that we are more than just an ant farm to him.
Yeah.
I remember I used to say that. I was a little kid, though.
Okay.
I'm like, God, I'm just a... Well, I probably wasn't a little kid. Probably 28. So, God probably just... We just an ant farm to him. He just looking at us. We doing stupid stuff. Look at that dumb man. He keep getting in that water. I keep taking him out. He just keep jumping back in. He's stupid. But no. And I think Dad said, just keep living.
Amen.
And you'll see. And that's what I tell the kids. Keep living. And God will show himself to you if you open your eyes and look at him.
Right.
But if you cover your eyes and you close your eyes, you'll never see him.
Right.
People saying that there is no God. They got their eyes covered. Hands over their eyes. Got somebody else to tie something around their eyes so they can't see. They got 3-4 layers of protection against the Holy Spirit because they don't want to see it. Because there's too many miracles happening. Too many. We didn't see too much in these four walls. Too much. We probably been blessed so many times that we don't even know everybody's blessings. I feel like I've heard a lot of Mother Russell's testimony, but I still ain't heard all of them. So she just blessed beyond anything I can imagine. Each and every one of you. Blessed beyond you can imagine. Even the children, you ain't even realized it yet. You blessed and you ain't even know it. Blessed and you ain't even know it.
Amen.
God is here for you. Take his hand. Jesus died for you. Take his hand. He's reaching out for you every single day. But all you have to do is listen. And that's how you put your faith to work. That's how you put your faith to use. Don't be a useless Christian. Believe in him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.